Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is February 22nd, 2023. And my name is Robin Austin. I'm with some of my co-hosts this evening, Lou Ann Fleming.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing? How's that? let's see. We also have Hillary Hogus with us. Let's bring Hillary on with us. Hillary, say hello to everyone.
Hi, everyone. And another week of madness in the probate / guardianship courts throughout this country. It seems like free speech is not in their vocabulary, the players, that we cannot voice our opinions and give our thoughts on what we feel as American citizens is happening in our courts. Again, we don't want to do this. We really do not want to do this, but we have an obligation to be on this radio show every Wednesday to let the public know what is happening and how our voices are being stifled, or they are trying to silence us. But we will not be silenced. We will continue to tell, guess what, the truth about what is going on. So thank you again for letting me be part of the show.
Well, thank you for coming on, and I think Marcy will be joining us when she can. You guys have been such a big help with this radio show. We thank both of you for coming on with Robin and I each week. And let's talk about our topic tonight. It's interesting that we've decided to do the show over a few instances that happened just recently. Anyway, we're going to be talking about the cost of truth, talking about Hillary. Whistleblowers and truth tellers are defamed, deplatformed, and criminalized at an alarming high rate. Telling the truth is now dangerous to one's livelihood, freedom, and life. Doctors are no longer permitted to make medical decisions beneficial to their patients. Lawyers attempting to defend their clients are attacked by their own bar association and risk losing their licenses. Citizens trying to protect themselves behind contempt of court? Well, restraining orders and gag orders. We stand, or we should ask, will we stand together against the tyranny, march blindly over the cliff? That was well said, Robin, when you told me to put that in there.
Well, yes, and that is the question that we are here to talk about tonight. We're looking at a world that is absolutely topsy-turvy and upside down with incredible amounts of corruption in all kinds of fields. Literally, we have doctors that cannot do what is best for their patients without risking losing their medical license because there's an authorized and an unauthorized treatment for diseases that are in the public domain now that we're all facing, that we all come up against. And if a doctor decides that the best thing for you is to treat you with something that actually works, but it's not on the authorized list, that doctor risks losing their livelihood, risks losing their license and being put out of business because they're doing what is right for their patient.
Right. And I also suggest that everybody find a way to get onto emails from Dr. McCullough. He has been a huge representative of the health agencies that, you know, talking about what's going on in America. Him and a bunch of other doctors have been criminalized for talking about ivermectin to talking about just all kinds of stuff. Rob and I talk
hydroxychloroquine,
about this.
Hydroxychloroquine. These doctors that are actually curing some of the diseases
mm-hmm.
that we face are absolutely deplatformed. They're knocked off of Facebook. They're knocked off of Twitter. It is claimed that they're spreading misinformation and disinformation. And really, the misinformation and disinformation is what we're hearing from the mainstream media that is owned by people who pay them to say what will sell the most of whatever drug they're pushing. And
right.
All you have to do is watch 10 minutes of TV, and you're going to see about 4 minutes of pharmaceutical company commercials.
Right. And, you know, and I wanted to talk on this real briefly because we've got a lot to talk about on the show tonight. When they would not put out ivermectin, thank God, one of my advocates out here in Colorado says, Loanne, you are so sick. You have to get that medicine, ivermectin. I could not find it anywhere. Thank God I got connections out of the state. I was hooked up with a wonderful doctor. If anybody needs to know where to get it, I could tell you, message me. But I got ivermectin, and that saved my life. So if anybody says, you can't talk about that, I am going to stand up and talk about it because I know for a fact that saved my life. You know, anybody, I don't care who it is.
And I'll stand right next to you vouching for it because
yeah.
I was right next to you, and I saw that was what had an effect. When everything, you had been to the hospital.
Six times.
And nothing had been done that had been beneficial or helpful, much of anything. You were getting worse and worse and worse
mm-hmm.
for weeks.
Weeks. Bad.
And the doctors turned me away.
The hospitals turned me away. They took me right out to the emergency room, right out to the back door.
Yeah,
said they could nothing do to me.
There's nothing to do for you. Have you had this jab that we're trying to push on everybody? No. Well, we're kicking you out of the hospital.
It was horrifying. It was really a horrific experience yeah.
to see how marginalized it is to stand up to a medical experiment that's being done on people and say, I don't want to participate. That absolutely ostracized. I was pushed out of a job that I really enjoyed because taking the jab that was being forced on people, and I got a medical exemption, and then that was honored. But then they said, but now don't talk about it. Don't say that you didn't get this jab. Don't say. Mm-hmm. And I just saw
right.
what was going on and could not stop myself from speaking the truth when I saw that that medical tests, double blind studies, were being done that were showing that there were effective treatments. I couldn't just stand by and let the people around me die
right.
because they did not know what the truth was about this. So I spoke up, and I was pushed out of that job.
I think a lot of people have had issues like that. Go ahead, Hillary.
I will support the two of you with whatever you want to do. It is your body, and you have every right to do or not to do what you'd like, but I will say that I did get two vaccines, and I did afterwards COVID. I don't know, and I was really, really sick. I don't know if I would have been as sick. I do know, and I think it's different. Like, I had chicken pox when I was young, but there now is a vaccine for chicken pox, which both of my boys had, and they were lucky enough that they didn't get chicken pox. So everyone should be able to do what they want to do and not be ostracized because of their beliefs. I would never condemn either of you. I do hear people say the jab. I'm like, but that is your choice, and I'll love you no matter what you do, you know, as long as it's not too criminal. But maybe it's still
right. Yeah, I know.
But everyone has the right to decide what they want to do and not lose their job. It's all, I mean, it's racism, actually, without dealing with the color that you know, it's just craziness. But anyway, I'm glad that the two of you are healthy as can be.
Exactly. And we're not here to, you know, condemn this and condemn that. We just want people to know that there has been medical ivermectin that was just criminalized out there. And it's not. It saved my life. So, and I like it that people can have their own choice and they shouldn't have to depend on their job is making them get this shot that they don't want to do. I think it should be up to anybody to do what they want with their own body and their own medical choice. Period.
And just,
I agree with you, Hillary.
I really want to wrap this subject up, but I do want to say that it is inaccurate not to say medical experiment, because there was not a sufficient amount of time for the kind of carefully controlled studies that would show that this was safe and effective.
Yeah, I know.
Because that takes time.
It takes 2 years.
And you do not know what what the longer-term effects of a medicine are without doing those studies. And, yeah, they had reasons why, but these were pushed through very quickly, and that meant that they were experimenting on the people that were getting these medicines before they had really done the experiments to verify whether it was something that could do any harm over the long term. And so everyone was being pushed into a medical experiment.
Right.
Without informed consent. They did not know what the consequences were, but there was no one knew. There was no way to know the consequences. And
yeah,
so they all became part of a medical experiment on the population. And when there was treatments that were working that were then denied, and those who spoke up and said, hey, there's treatments that are working, were deplatformed and denied and pushed down and pushed back and not allowed to speak. And when you have a society that forces people to shut up and toe the party line,
that's what we're talking about tonight.
Then we have tyranny.
Right.
And when it happens in a courtroom setting, what happens is you have an individual who comes into that court and they're duly authorized as a legal representative. They've gone to law school, they've gotten their law license. They're a lawyer.
That's the other big topic we're talking about.
That's right. That's where I'm going with it.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And they come into a courtroom and vigorously defend their client's interest. And if there are certain courtrooms in this country, and it is a very large number of them, where people are not permitted and not allowed to vigorously defend their clients. And these in general, the ones that we've seen that we're aware of, mostly are the probate court, where any attorney that comes into certain of these probate courts that what we look at them as just plain straight out corrupt, anyone that comes into these courts and vigorously defends the interests of their clients and therefore prevents the court from taking away from that client their property, their money, their resources, that individual that has vigorously defended them and prevented that court acts to then rob that person of everything they own, that court will come down on that attorney, and they won't be an attorney for long. The attorneys will gang up on them, and pretty soon they'll have a posse of attorneys that are backed up by other attorneys who have been elected to wear black dresses and bang wooden hammers, and those black dressed wooden hammered individuals that are also attorneys are now empowered to say, oh no, you may argue in this court. We're not going to accept your argument. You can have your case heard early in the day and get the good treatment and the prime positioning to get an outcome that you want. We're going to push your case back. I wish that this was some kind of fantasy. I wish that I was just acting paranoid. But the real truth is that what I'm doing is telling you exactly what I've heard from attorneys who have faced these conditions over and over in the courts in America, where if you try to do the right thing and do your job, send your clients, they will do the same thing that those do to doctors who try to give you the way to health instead of the party line. You'll be deplatformed. You'll be disempowered. They'll try to take your license. They'll try to destroy your legal career and force you out of business for doing what is right.
We've had probably about 15 attorneys on our show that this has happened to. And I know one going through it right now is Leslie Federico, and this is important for her to keep her license. And also, I just got an email from Phil Ross. He's a Maverick attorney down in Texas, and he's been attaching petitions on to Supreme Courts, and he says if things don't get better, he's going to have to retire. He's one of the top attorneys out there that's been up against this whole going up against the bar, and they claim that these attorneys are mentally ill. I mean, there was another one that was on here, and her name was Retta Daniel. Daniel, she came on one time and so ill after like 30 or 40 years of working as an attorney, and I think this is unreal. But that's what they seem to do with the families in the probate court. They try to say that the family members are mentally ill. They're exploiting their parents. They come up with so much stuff on families, on, you know, ex-police officers, you know, against the Bar Association, come after their own people. I mean, that's why we decided to do this topic, because whistleblowers, I ain't kidding you, are being defamed, criminalized for telling the truth.
Right.
This should not be happening in the United States. Anybody should have the freedom of speech, don't you agree?
Right, right. It is one of the founding principles upon which our country was established, that we would have several rights that are not guaranteed by our country. No, they are inalienable rights. That means no one should be taking them away from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
that are given to us by our Creator, by the fact that we are alive. We are entitled to these. Our government did was to do its best to the founding fathers of our government when they designed these documents by which the government would operate, did their best to say to all of us who are the heirs of that work, we are giving you the power to protect your rights, that are your God-given rights. You have these rights that you're born with and no one should ever take away. And we're encoding that in these documents so that no one will take them away. Because when you start taking away the right to free speech, the right to assemble, the right to have your say, then the right to, you know, and that's what we're seeing when we deplatform people who are telling the truth. When you destroy the attorneys who are telling the truth and doing right and bringing forth justice, when you destroy the individuals who are doing their best to protect their family and themselves from unethical court officials who are misusing their authority in these courts to work against the best interest of justice in the case of individuals who are found in that court. When those individuals are deprived of free speech, then you no longer have the United States of America as it was designed. You have become a tyranny. You have become a government of, by, and for the corporations who now run the government. And we see this every day. There are literally thousands of advocates on behalf of the pharmaceutical companies that are roaming the halls of Congress, waiting congresspeople and senators and congressmen to toe the party line on what they're trying to accomplish. And they're funded by these companies that spend more money on advertising than anybody else in the world, because they're breaking in billions and billions and billions of dollars a year. And they figured out a way last year, a couple of years ago, to just about turn that into trillions of dollars by basically forcing the whole of society into one treatment for a disease that actually had multiple treatments, and just deny all the other treatments and force everybody to go right along down the line. And that this is a pattern of abuses that we are seeing in our culture and in our society that has come down on us, that if we are not awake enough, if we're not aware enough of it, if we're not prepared to stand up to it, well, then we're giving our children slavery. We're giving them over. We are going over the cliff of tyranny, and we are now in the age of tyranny, where tyrants rule, where people who have power multiply that power more every day, and where people who are not empowered are more and more disempowered every day. So the poor will continue to get poorer, the rich will continue to get richer, and there will be no middle class,
right?
Because that's being wiped out by this process that begins with denying people the right to tell the truth about what's going on, to blow the whistle when they see corruption, to stand up to it when they see that things are going wrong in their own lives. When you look at the probate courts, people get into this kind of discussion because their own lives are being affected, because they themselves have seen, wait a minute, hey, no one should be able to just come and take your stuff. No one should be able to just kidnap your loved ones and lock them away, steal everything from them and kill them and not receive any punishment, not even be held accountable for it. Simply get away with it. Mass murder en masse. And it really, and you know, I mean, I know that sounds like, oh my God, what are you, a crazy man? Mass murder en masse. What in the world are you talking about? How can you be saying that? Well, I'm saying it because we have the data that shows hundreds of people that have called our radio show and said, hey, I know what happened. I watched the decline of my mother once these people got their clutches into her. I watched how my father was slowly starved. I watched how my mother was drugged to ability for months at a time, and then starved and dehydrated, and then given a kill shot to kill her. Well before the time that would have been her time if she had stayed under my care, where she was thriving and very capable and very able to handle all of her affairs, and or had only a few little problems that were being handled that were in the wise and safe and capable care of people who loved her and who were looking out for her. And these are the stories that we hear every day.
Every single day. And it's, you know, like the same playbook over and over again. It's over and over.
Right. And if I could put in my 12 cents. And here I'll just wave my hands. Exhausted me. The crazy person who thought that she would not go back to a normal life, lucky enough to get my dad out of guardianship. No, I was going to fight to the system. What the F was I thinking doing that, putting myself on the line? It's been calm. You know, it's been a few years since I've been sued for libel, slander, and restraining orders. And when that person who sued me for those two offenses got arrested, not once, got arrested twice for, I think it's now 25 charges, felony charges of exploitation of the elderly. All the people that I was warning in state agencies that I told, you know, this guardian is doing ABC to the elderly and disabled. When she got arrested, a normal person would have thought that they would have come and said, you know, we should have listened to you because we could have gotten her a lot sooner. Absolutely not. When I called and made all the complaints about Denise Willis, and it wasn't only about Jan Garwood, it was about 90% of Denise Willis's wards, that demeaning word that human beings are called. And finally, they couldn't turn their heads anymore. They finally removed Denise Willis, who was a guardian for, I think, maybe 20 years. They removed her from ever being a guardian in the state of Florida, ever again.
you would have thought that they would have said, Miss Hogue, we know that you've done this on your own time, gratis. You didn't make any money. You've lost money. You've lost time with your children, with your father. But we are forever indebted to you for helping the elderly and stopping any further abuse by this guardian. No, they didn't do anything like that. So fast forward to where we are now. Leslie Federicos, whose heart is in the right place. She has issues. She's taking the right medicine now. There are attorneys who want to get her. We were at a court hearing, and the attorney involved, I will not say his name because I'm not allowed to. He said something, and I filed an affidavit. But the truth, I've got nothing to lie about. I'm not going to make any money, get any awards for this. I put down in writing, got it notarized under perjury of law or whatever that logo is, and the next day I was sent a subpoena. And as I said, I think I said last Wednesday night, I was sitting on my couch. No one comes to my house, basically. Knock on the door, big, tall guy, dressed all in black, bulletproof vest, the chain with the badge, gun at his waist, hovering over me. I'm not intimidated, but other people might have been, serving me this subpoena for a probate court matter. It's not a criminal matter. It's not like it's something huge that I've committed a crime. It's a piece of paper to interrogate me. So, you know, we are being shut down, and there are other people, I will not tell their stories because it is not my right to do so, who are being targeted because we are outspoken. And we should be able to talk and say what we feel. You don't have to agree with me. I don't want you to if you don't feel the same way, but I should have the right to say Joe Schmo isn't doing the right thing. I believe the community, the elderly community, is at risk because of Jane Smith and the amount of people that are put under guardianship, but we are not. So here I am, and here I will be, and we shall carry on and do what we're doing because it's coming out little by little. Nancy Grace, I don't know that little piece, if either of you watch, for Billy Mintz, the executor. I mean, there are lots of things coming out, but we've got to keeping on. Ray Contreras tomorrow will be going on his dime to Tallahassee, driving 10 hours round trip on his own to meet with one politician, Ms. Hinson, and maybe talk about this bill. It's an exploitation bill, not solely geared on guardianship, and it actually seems to be a good one. And he is, like you and Rob and Luann, one of the trailblazers. And so we do what we do, and our numbers are growing. And, again, I speak the truth. I speak the truth at this stage of the game. I have nothing to lie about. I've lived it. I've seen it. And I don't know a lot about much. But guess what? I know a lot about guardianship. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, that's a good take. And we're all in the same boat. We have listened to stories one after another. You know, we get people in touch with other. You know, we've talked to, you know, to good attorneys on our shows, talked to judges on our shows, talked to police officers on our shows. We've talked to all kinds of people on our shows, and they're all going through this platform that's being deplatformed. You know what I mean? It's just everything. It's just everyone's being criminalized for speaking out. And I think this
Go ahead. I agree. There definitely are good judges. I've seen them. There are a few that I have seen, And I'm amazed. It's like I am in front of the Messiah, because they are good judges. They are in probate. And one of them was in Palm Beach when he said to the attorney for the Guardian, "What's going on here? These two women, the Navarro sisters, why aren't they the Guardians? They're medical doctors. Clean background, no crime, this, that, and the other." I'm like, oh, my God, I am in love with this judge. There's a Judge Marquez in Orange County. I adore her. She calls it as she – will I agree with everything that she does? No, but I have seen a heart, and I have felt it, and she is thinking on her own. She's not letting the attorneys dictate what she does. And there are good lawyers. We've got a few in Florida. We really, really do. So I will not agree when some people come on and say they're all bad. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But it is an organized ring that does this. It's too convenient that the same players are on the same cases time and time again. There's no rotation, but it's so sad because people are being victimized. Again, in Pinellas County this last week, there were four petitions to put four women into guardianship. And you just think of them, and you'll never probably meet them because you won't be allowed in the hearings. Everything will be closed, but you only hope and pray that things work out the best that they possibly can. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be allowed into these hearings. Absolutely none, but it's, you know, what you don't see, people think won't hurt you, but it hurts a lot thinking about the elderly and the disabled being put away and having all of their rights taken away without any say-so from them.
Right. And if you have been in the arena of trying to defend people against injustice for a little while, it doesn't take long, then you will know about the reality of the facts that oftentimes, I mean, even AARP, American Association of Retired Persons, I believe it is, has a newsletter that they put out, and they talked in their newsletter about the number of people who are being over-medicated in nursing homes, and the number was over 80%. I think it was like 80% of the people in these nursing homes are on some kind of psychotropic drugs. That is really, in my estimation, that's criminal.
Yeah.
You have 80%.
Well, you know, Robin, you know why they do that, as well as Luann and I do. They are called handler drugs, that you can take care of all these people because they're basically, you know, knocked out, drooling, and just sitting in the chair all day, which is, so easy for these people. But that number, that percentage should make everyone concerned.
That's in the AARP magazine, which...
Yeah, that's a nationwide organization, well-established for many years, that is, that is known for integrity, and even in their newsletter, this is rather mainstream. That we're hearing.
Well,
there.
If I could quickly interrupt, AARP, who was one of the members of the task force, Zane Smith, she was on it as well. But one of their platforms this year in Tallahassee, which is like, again, you just say guardianship, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is phenomenal. One of their platforms is guardianship. It should be I'll find it hopefully before we end, that guardianship should be the last resort, that everything possible should be done to prevent a guardianship from happening. So the fact that they are talking the talk with lawmakers in Tallahassee is – phenomenal.
Right. Absolutely. And Jenny Ray Contreras, you can't send a better person than him. He is so good. I've listened to him on quite a few. Yeah, he's really good, and I'm glad he stepped up to the plate and is talking to people because he witnessed it firsthand with his family. So he's a great speaker. I mean, he's a great advocate, and we hope him.
And
we wish him luck. For him to call into the show and tell us what happened. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Week I will, but he's in it for the long haul, you know, which is good. We need people just to stay the course with us and just do what we're doing, and hopefully change comes sooner than later.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder, I kind of want to ask our listeners, think about one of the things that we really, you know, one of the things that a doctor is pledged to do is, it's right there in the Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm. Don't harm your patient. That's like the beginning, the first tenet of becoming a doctor is first, do no harm, and then proceed from there. And we try to adopt and follow that philosophy because we're here to help. We're here to do what is right. We're here to bring justice. We are here to undo some of the criminal activity. We're here to undo the criminals, to hold them accountable. But what I am realizing is that we're in a situation now where a person who speaks up about injustice that affects them directly and personally is oftentimes put in the position by the legal machinery around us, where by speaking up about the legal machinations that are in place against them, they jeopardize their own life. In particular, I'm talking about Stuart Henty, who was on our show just last week and has been often. And the last thing we ever want to do is to jeopardize Stuart Henty for being out. And yet, are we in a country where it's all right to deny the voice of someone who is being abused by the legal system? Is it all right to marginalize that person? Is it all right to let the district attorney in the case say, oh, this person's a hot-headed, crazy, paranoid person, don't listen to what they say? Is it all right for that to be said, for them to malign this person publicly and to tell the public that they're not to be listened to, and then to deny the voice of that individual?
And not only that, but they, from what I've heard from this whole case, and I've been following this case, but I'm going to say right now, we have over 100,000 people listening to this radio show each week, approximately. And I know that I get so many emails, and they're wondering, did any of these district attorneys, did any of these police officers, did anybody go in and investigate the Susan Hillegas case, and was she abused in that nursing home? You know, why would these family members be wanting to take the members out? I remember when I wanted to take my mom out, she was being abused, okay? So why didn't they investigate all that first before criminalizing these two people?
Right, right.
We all on this radio show are reform advocates for the probate court, so we know how the abuse persists in some of these nursing homes, even in some family member homes. It just depends on the case about this. But why wasn't there anybody talking about what could have possibly happened to Susan Hillegas?
You don't
have
to look far
online
to find pictures of very elderly people with faces that are all bruised up. And I don't know, you know, I was a rambunctious enough youngster that I understand what a black eye looks like when somebody punches you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen an awful lot that look very suspicious that appear to me to be cases where you have an elderly person, probably drugged up at the time, unable to defend themselves, who's being abused brutally and physically by people in these nursing homes.
And I know.
And when you see that that is your mother,
right?
How are you going to respond? When you see, even if it's not your mother, if I see that anyone, any person is put into that position,
well,
then my butt gets hot. I'm like, I want to stand up on their behalf and defend them against that criminality that is being perpetrated against a defenseless individual.
Exactly.
And when you do that in our society, when you do that in our society, then you risk running afoul of the law. You have just there's a person who authorized the holding of that individual by that facility, and who allows any of that that they deem appropriate because they're in a position of power to do so. And if they deem that they're being handled appropriately, then no one is allowed to do anything about it. You can call the police and say, God, she's got bruises all over her face. Her arms are bruised where they were holding her too tight. That she's being abused. And the police go and the facility says, well, the guardian said we need to restrain them and drug them. And
whatever.
So we do what the guardian says. And here's the court order from the judge that makes this person the guardian. And the police go, oh, well, if the judge authorized the guardian to do these things to this person, then it's a simple matter. We have nothing to do with this.
Right.
It becomes instantly longer a crime. Go ahead, Hillary.
Robin, please let me interrupt you. How many words? Count with me. It's 1, 2, 3, civil matter. 5 words. They have it when they become whoever. They write it down, and that's the answer for everything. My mother fell from her bed at the nursing home. Sorry, it's a civil matter. My brother is holding my mother captive. I can't see her. I'm worried. A civil matter. We can't do everything. Where did this come from? It's true. We have victims with black and blue eyes. Terrible. It's hard even to look at these pictures. And the police are doing nothing.
Right,
nothing.
Exactly. And you know, I mean, let me tell you something. When my mother was in a nursing home 3 years ago, she was in there for 4 years in Aurora, Colorado, a fantastic nursing home.
I know,
never,
you have always said that.
Never saw bruises on anybody in that facility. They were happy people. They were always entertained. I never, and if my mom even had one bruise, they would call me for absolutely everything. And I talked to them people down there, and they were wonderful caretakers, and that's how it should be in every nursing home in this state, in all the states.
Well, throughout the
throughout
world.
The whole country. Yeah, exactly. And for us, for people to come in there and say, well, you can't talk about that and you can't talk about her being in guardianship, I think they should be criminalized. This is wrong in America, what's going on. You know, and right now we're going to be taking in some phone calls in about 2 more minutes. So we're lighting up. We are getting some callers that want to talk about this that's going on. If you've been a whistleblower or a truth teller and you want to talk about what has happened to you, call into our radio show. The number is 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And we're going to be taking in some callers here real quick. But I just wanted to say that there should be no one abusing anybody at all in any nursing home. I don't care if
there's
disabled.
No excuse for it. These nursing homes are one of the highest profit organizations that you can found if you're in any kind of business. They're astronomical. And they grow higher every day because they're hiring fewer people to do the same amount of work and not putting anything into training them. Mm-hmm. It's really criminal the way that we're allowing our elders to be abused as though they're just, you know, it's like cattle being pushed into a.
Go ahead and take us some phone calls, honey. We've got like 6 or 7 people on here already that would like to come and talk on our show. Hello, this is a 407 number. You are live on the air with Faces Radio.
Hi, welcome to the show.
question or comment? Or go ahead.
I think, this is Leslie Federigo. Can you hear me?
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Leslie. Welcome
Thank you.
To the
hey,
show.
Yeah. I've been listening to your show, and I just wanted to tell you I'm writing a book, and it's funny because I'm setting it in the future, and it's supposed to be, you know, exaggerated, but every time I write, I'm like, this is what's happening. And by the way, I'm suing the Florida Bar. I'm suing the state of Florida, and I have a very strong case. And I'm happy to, you know, I'm happy about that. And I don't care whether, you know, if they want to take my license, they've already taken everything from me anyways. They've destroyed my life. But what I realize, you know, this is letting people live their lives to accumulate property, accumulate the American dream. And in the end, it's a mechanism to steal their property from underneath them. I can't understand how a court could think that a parent is better with a stranger taking care of them than their own children. I don't understand that. And another thing I don't understand is the conflict of interest when you have a guardian and the attorneys involved that make money from the person being a ward, but yet those same people are supposed to continue to petition the court to give back rights to the ward. How does that work when the whole reason you're making money is because the person's rights are deprived, but yet you have that same responsibility to restore their rights? Nobody, human nature would tell you that these greedy people are not going to restore these people's rights.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like what I believe is this is a mechanism for the state to come in and steal your hard-earned money from your family.
I agree. I totally agree with you. I mean, I couldn't have said it better than you.
It's very hard to argue with that when you see the way it actually is working out.
These people have a court order to come and steal from you. I mean,
I trace this back to the history, the origination of guardianships, because when I research, I need to know where it all began, right, for me to thoroughly understand where we are today. Yeah, it was never with the elderly. The reason guardianships started back in England before we even became the United States, it was for when a child's parents died and they inherited money. They didn't trust that the child knew how to handle that money appropriately. So they created the guardianship system. Then, of course, we go to the 1900s when we have the mentally ill, and then everybody, it was like the Salem witch trials. Anybody that contested them was considered deemed mentally ill, and that was another reason to steal their money. And now it migrated until the elderly, you know, with this cliche dementia with, you know, there's many, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the doctors, it's the nursing homes, it's everybody that has a leg in the game. It's all about the money. That is the reality of what we're dealing with. And it's going to take a strong statement by a large group of people, you know, that are going to say, we have had enough, you know, and how that statement is going to be made, I don't know. But it's stealing money. It's the government stealing our money. And that is the reality. And the attorneys are a part of the state, okay? It's all police powers. That's what it is. It's the doctrine of parens patres that we study in law school that says the state can come in and protect a person from themselves and another human being, but they've abused that doctrine. And all these people that's like I said, it's the attorneys, it's the government. It's everybody exercising parents patres, the police powers, against the public. And the public, and as far as I'm concerned, attorneys are a false illusion to the public to give them hope so they think they have a voice. But the reality is it's all, I believe it's I can't say it's premeditated like a script. That's what my book's going to say, of course. I'm going to have it very, you know, my book's going to be pretty cool, I think. But it's...
Mm-hmm.
We know when we walk into court who's going to win based on the attorneys that are fighting, based on the medical doctors that are there.
Yeah.
And again, we've
got one coming up. Maybe we could talk a little bit about putting articles in each of the books, because We've got one Rob and I have been working on as well, and it's kind of a scary book. I'm not going to lie to you guys, man. It's, from what we hear on these radio shows, you know, it's going to be a big wake-up call.
Well, the reality is that we live in a scary world.
Yeah. I go to sleep at night like, whoa, what was that, you know?
I mean, you know, when there really literally have been times when I got a little paranoid and I'm looking over my shoulder and I'm wondering, are they coming after us because we're speaking the truth? Well, the answer is probably.
Yeah.
There are individuals who would love to come and get us, to come and take us out, because we're telling the truth about what's going on.
Whatever they want to do.
And people who are making vast amounts of money in an unethical way, that's what we call criminality in our society, in our culture, when somebody is using an unethical way to take away what rightfully belongs to another, that's criminality. That's crime. So we're exposing criminals who are doing criminal activity at a very high level and making huge amounts of money for us to expect anything less than the fact that, yes, our lives may be in danger would simply be lack of foresight and foolishness, because you can't go up against well-organized, very well-financed, and very wicked criminals without realizing that you may face retribution at some point in time. So, you know, I look over my shoulder. Yeah, I plan as though there may be somebody trying to get me, because there very well may. It, just because I feel a little paranoid does not mean that there are not people out there who might very well be plotting against me.
Yeah,
and anyone who advocates for the truth has to realize but that's the reality you're going to be living with.
Right. Well, thank you, Leslie, for calling
in.
We appreciate you. And like I said, you're just one of the best attorneys out there, and we wish you luck. I will be in touch with you, though, Robin and I. And let's talk about a little bit about this book issue. Yeah, I think we can, you know, give it a little bit of each one. I think it would be awesome, you know.
Yes. Well, thank you, guys.
And we figured out, you know, we've been trying to figure out what's the best way to get to the public. I think a book is definitely one of them. So I think that's what we're working on it now. I've been working on it for a long time. Well, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's happening, guys. It's happening.
Well, keep up the good work,
right,
and I'll let you go. I know you have other callers.
Thanks, Leslie.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Leslie,
we
for calling
you.
In. Appreciate
Always,
you.
We have a mutual admiration society here.
Absolutely. Okay, let's bring in a 386 number. You have a question? Our comment to Faces Radio.
386, you're live and on the air. Unmute your phone. Hello, 386. You had your hand raised. Looks like 386 has wandered away for a moment.
Okay, we're going to give one more second to call in to say hello.
386, you're on the air. Hello. If your phone number
starts with 386. Okay, let's go into a 616 number. 616.
Hi.
Question
or comment? Area code here. Hi.
Yeah, this is Holly from Michigan. I'm reading a article from a conglomerate, and the clients are actually the skilled nursing homes. So, and what they're reporting is the Justice Department's press release noted that whistleblowers filed 652 QTAM lawsuits in fiscal year 2022. They go on to say one of the biggest threats against skilled nursing homes right now is QTAM. They're also going on to say that because of the growing frustration of employers not listening is leading the employees themselves to become whistleblowers. And as I said, they're saying the biggest significant threat right now for the operators of skilled nursing homes are QTAM. And he's cautioning clients, and the client is the skilled nursing home, clients to pay attention to what employees are reporting internally. So I just thought, I don't know if you guys already know that or have seen this stuff.
No.
But this is what they're reporting right now as far as the amount of False Claims Act on top of that, something like $2.2 billion dollars because of all the whistleblower QTAMs, False Claims Act and whatnot going against nursing homes right now because there's so much crap going on.
Oh, my God.
So I just, you know, it's just, there's so much. Record haul in False Claims Act cases, a reason for nursing homes to be concerned. And so this article is coming from the other side of the coin where they're telling the nursing homes as their clients, this is what's happening. You know, we really need to, like, you know, pay attention to this stuff because we're going to be losing money. And the only other thing I wanted to say is I don't know if you guys know who Jordan Peterson is.
No.
You
I'm
guys
familiar
are talking
with.
About you guys are talking about all the people who are getting deplatformed and threatened and you know, told you can't say that or you're going to lose your license. Anyways, he's one of these famous psychologists. He's actually from Canada, but he's all over the world. And he's kind of a common sense guy. He's extremely articulate, extremely articulate. And okay. He sets up and about all the stuff that's going on and specifically about the left and the right agendas and the transgender movement towards teenagers and doing these surgical interventions where they're not grown. Oh, my God, they're going after them. They're trying to tell him that he's supposed to go to the education
yeah, it's happening
camp.
Everywhere.
And
so all
said,
kinds of people taking out, right?
Yeah, re-education so, from who? That's what his question was. So I just want to put those two things in there that things are just going nuts. But if you're going
right.
to sue, do it now. Do it now. Start it. I'm working on my QTAM. Do it. Do it. Everybody start doing it because they're taking
right.
notice of it. Do it. The largest number, second largest number of lawsuits going on right now as far as towards skilled nursing care specifically.
Now,
apparently,
for those of us
who they said.
Aren't sure exactly what you mean when you say QTAM lawsuits, what are you describing? What is that?
Okay. I'm not so articulate as Jordan Peterson, but I'll try to explain it a little bit.
right.
And if someone else can explain it better, please do. But from what I'm doing, from what I'm understanding, was told to do is that what you do is you put your case together. Facts, 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 facts. You have to prove that there's a pattern of the stuff going on, especially. And then you send it into the feds and they investigate against that state. And then mm-hmm. if it's a group of nursing homes specifically, they're looking into the CARES Act, where that money went
well, look,
to. That's a big thing right now. But a specific a pattern of abuse and neglect, specifically what that state is doing across mm-hmm. the state especially, so you can put all the stuff together. And you don't have to have that many examples. They just have to be pretty factual. And instead of you hiring an attorney, you don't do that. You send it in to the federal government, to a specific department. They investigate, and if they find that to be honest and truthful, they charge the state huge amounts of money, and then the person who turned that in gets a percentage of that money that they're charging, this finding the state, not charging, finding the state because of the
uh-huh.
pattern of abuse. And QTAMs aren't exactly the easiest things to prove, but when they're saying 652 cases just a year, that's astounding, just astounding
uh-huh.
when you're talking about a specific thing. So that's, you know, if someone can explain it better than me, please go for it. But that's because
thank
of him.
You. Thank you kindly. I
appreciate it. It's always different.
Thank you for calling in, okay? Thank you.
You we
appreciate you calling in.
That was really good information.
That's
I'm
some good
she,
information, yes.
I'm glad she was
now,
able
look,
to
look
bring
up,
that
look
forward.
Look it up. Look it up. Do
okay.
it. And look it up
yeah.
and start on it.
mm-hmm.
Okay, Holly. Thank you. Okay, let's bring in another caller. Okay, a 602 number. Bring them on the air.
Hi, I think that's me, Luann and company. This is Linda in the Phoenix area. And I
yeah,
find all the
yeah,
comments.
Yeah.
Hi. Hi, hi. We've been busy down here.
Yeah.
I'd like to follow up on a couple of comments that were brought up. And one of the biggest things that I have just pulled together after from the 10 years that I'm still fighting this is part of what's involved, we meaning older generations, have allowed the dysfunction and the corruption, I think, to develop within our entire system meaning our governmental system. Because we always have felt that we should trust attorneys and trust and respect judges. However, I've mentioned this before, we have got to get back to looking at our federal rights under the Constitution. For those of you that are in state courts, I think you're going to find that usually the attorneys, they may be bringing up facts, but they're going to cite state case law. What we have found is we find SCOTUS case law because you have the Supremacy Clause, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and it is over state statutes when we're coming down to the basic rights. Following that path, that's how we've been making success in stymieing the courts in my parents' case. A couple of other things I think that's very important to note. While we all know AARP, has anybody really looked into the behind the scenes to see what their pattern of knowledge and association and funding is? Because they come out of the World Health Organization, and the World Health Organization comes out of the World Economic Council, which they all just met in Davos, Switzerland. And if we really take a look, what's going on right now with the desecration of the middle class and our inflation and the economy and the corruption in the courts and the money being stolen, it's fitting this pattern that America's under attack again by the rich and famous and powerful. And when you have absolute power, what's the phrase? Absolute power corrupts
absolutely.
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
This is what I have been seeing is evolving. And if we start taking a look at how are we going to tackle this problem, number one, there are a lot of good attorneys. But you're right, they're being threatened, intimidated, or disbarred if they go up against the powerful judges who are attorneys. Attorneys have to be part of the state bar associations, and they're all controlled by the American Bar Association. So that's your judicial system supported by the lobbyists in every state legislature. And we've got that going on right now here in Arizona. What we have found is we assume also that the people we elect to represent us locally as our senators and representatives start doing a deep dive on who these people are, what their backgrounds are, what their knowledge is. And I think you will find a lot of them are just average Jane and Joe Smith that want to get in there and try to make a difference. However, they need to understand the system, and a lot of times they don't learn it until after having a term or two. But I've been monitoring some bills that are going through the Arizona legislature right now. Do not take your eyes off the legislative council staff members that literally work for the judges. So these bills that come in, they have to be seen by legislative council first, and that's how they get to be reviewed by the state attorneys or the lobbyist attorneys or the judges. We need to have an outcry. The American people, all of us, need to start coming together to get back to say no. If you look at our laws and statutes, that is not government by the people, of the people, for the people, by the people, of the people. I get it wrong. But again, we need to wake up and say, we've got to take some of this power back. And the one other thing I think that I wanted to emphasize is, I know it's easy for us to put a lot of blame on law enforcement and the police. I spend a lot of time now working with our police officers. And let me remind you, if it's not obvious, law enforcement comes underneath the executive branch. They are not under the judicial branch. Their hands get tied, or they are told by their municipalities or whoever, we're going to refer that out to the AG's office, or we're only going to look at things that are really criminal, and that's why they keep falling back on civil. But they take their walking orders from the county supervisors, the city managers, the mayors. They also don't have the knowledge. We have more knowledge than they do. I spent nearly 2 hours talking to one of our lead white-collar crimes detectives about a month ago. And I was stunned how much he didn't know. He actually stayed off of his shift an extra hour on his own time because he wanted to ask me questions. Let me just close with this. I don't know if any of you have been paying attention to the Kentucky, I think it's a Christian college in Kentucky that's been having a nonstop prayer service where youth have been coming in from all over the world. It's been nonstop prayers, but that's gotten international attention, and I've watched some of the local coverage on this, and all they've been doing is coming together of all religions, of all partisan viewpoints, all different political beliefs, and they have been joining their voices and their faith together that they as Americans, and they're really focused on Gen Z, which is great, but they have had all ages. And if we could figure out a way to say that's what we need to emulate, maybe you do it in each state, but those voices are being heard around the world, that they want to come together, they don't want to have this corruption, they don't want to have wars and fighting going on. So if we can take any examples from that, I would strongly say we need to. Because we need to be speaking in loud voices. The judicial branch, nobody gave them the authority to do all the atrocious things that we've heard tonight and that we know of from cases. They have taken it, and we have allowed it.
So true. It is ultimately, see, that's the thing that is, that's one of the reasons why we do this radio show. Is because ultimately when I go to bed at night, I look around and I go, am I doing all I can to make the world as good a place as I know how to make it? When I get up in the morning, I try to remind myself, I'm responsible. You know, there will come a time when I'm no longer on this earth, and at that time, there will be this process where I'll be able to look back, perhaps, and evaluate what value my life brought to the world. And the value that my life brings to the world is in the words and thoughts and ideas and feelings that I give to the world each day and how those things shape the world around me. If I am a force that says to the world, we need to have justice. Mm-hmm. We need to promote peace between people. And the way we do that is through justice.
I asked my sister today, and I said, why do I keep doing these radio shows? And she goes, because you were robbed, basically. You were robbed out of your inheritance. You were robbed from seeing your mother. You were robbed. We were all robbed. And it's all done by a court giving them the okay to do it. It's not right.
Yeah, and it's not right, and that's what it means. When I stand up, and you know, it's like, I don't want to be, if I had my druthers, I'd rather not feel like there's this obligation in me or this drive in me to say, well, I've got to talk about all of the anguish and pain that people are in, and I've got to do my best to try to end that and the way to do that is to stand up against the corruption that is creating that anguish and pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's corruption, it's criminality, it's no good nicks doing no good nick things.
Right.
You know, it's people who have lost their moral compass acting without integrity and without honor to do unjust and unfair and wrong things.
Right.
And if I don't stand up against that, then I'm permitting that to carry forward into the world of the future, where my children and your children and all of our children will have to deal with deeper and harder and more entrenched corruption because we didn't stand up against it.
It's for this generation.
So
it's for our generation.
I feel an obligation to those. I have children, but even if it weren't my own children, I also am a human being on Earth, and there are other human beings coming after us. And if I leave behind a pattern that has made the world less habitable, that has made life harder for them, well, I'm just as big a criminal as anybody.
Right. And
so
like,
it's important for me to do my best to make a better world.
Right.
And I think it's
true. It's kind of like today earlier I was talking to Ali Carino, and she's like telling me, aren't we mad? Aren't we fed up against this? And I thought, you know, we're going to do a radio show on this whistleblower. You know, that's what we were thinking about. And it's kind of like, yeah, we're mad and we're angry that this is happening, you know, and it continues. You know, like Leslie calls in, a really good attorney. She defends clients, yet they have to go up against their own people, the bar. You know, it's awful what they're doing, not only to the victims of probate, the elderly, the disabled, what they're doing to attorneys, what they're doing to all these doctors that want to help people, they're being silenced. It's a real problem
not
in America.
Not to mention silence and killed.
Yeah, and killed.
You know, I mean,
remember,
the epidemic of naturopathic doctors being killed.
There's 150
is something that many people don't even know about. It's not even a story that appears in the news.
Yeah,
but
sad.
There has been for many years an epidemic of naturopathic physicians, doctors who do not practice according to the allopathic model, but follow the naturopathic model, which says nature is your cure, nature is your healer, nature is how you find your way to health. And those individuals are killed for their beliefs and for speaking out.
Like Hillary says, everybody has a right to their beliefs, but
it should be informed.
It should be informed
beliefs.
Exactly. So I'm going to go ahead
Can I interject? Wait a minute. Before you cut me off, I have something to pass on to Hillary and the Floridians.
Go ahead.
Hillary, you have a Speaker of the House and you have a Senate leader, proper term. Has anybody from Florida checked their background? Because they are attorneys. I did a deep dive on those two because of a post I saw that was on SEER. And I went, Rick's really got a lot of confidence in these people. I said, I want to find out who they are. Go look them up. You're going to be stunned. Because I see two attorneys that they may have been elected, and they have to be visible, and they don't have to try to work together, but they've got the Bar Association behind them. Watch how that legislature processes things this session. It will be very interesting.
Right.
I'm
and
done.
Unfortunately,
the
half people in our legislation are all with the bar. It's horrible.
Yes.
If we can't get anywhere in the state of Colorado. It's not happening right now. We will be, so I don't give up here. No. I'm going to give the phone number out one more time for our listeners. If you want to call in, I'm going to give you the phone number, and this is the same phone number every week. It's 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that will get you into with your hands raised up, and it'll give us your phone number, and we will call up area code, and then you will be able to chime in with us and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Anyway, and that'll be for the next few minutes. So if you want to do that, we will bring you in. Otherwise, I can't do that after about 5 minutes now. So 845-241-9962, you press a 1. And, I know. Anyway, so we are going to, if not, sign off here in about 10 minutes, everybody. So one more chance for everybody to come in. So, Hillary, So is there anything going out there in Florida right now besides what Ray Contreras is going up to do?
everything and anything is happening. Let's see. Besides what's happening with Leslie, that's huge for her to get justice. Rebecca Fairley's trial starts in March, the end of March. I believe it's March 23rd in Hillsborough County. She's being retried, and I will be there with a few other advocates, the more the merrier, so try to attend. And then in May, Tracy Hudson will be going to trial unless she settles with the state for her multiple felonies as power of attorney and a guardian in Pinellas County. And, you know, as you know, Robin and Luann, I mean, again, people are calling at least twice, three times a week, some in hysterics, crying. It's the worst experience, and they are at a loss at what to do. But I'll tell you one thing that they are happy with is that they can count on us to commiserate with them and to know that they have friends who are victims who understand what they're going through and will do their best to give them a shoulder to lean on and to fight the fight for them. So with that, I'll thank you again. And it's crazy because, you know, Governor DeSantis, it has to be like 4 years ago, he said, Adam Walter was, you know, asking him questions about guardianship, Rebecca Fairley, and he said, well, there seems to be no accountability in the guardianship system here in Florida. He could say it, but if I said that, you know, I'd be getting in trouble from the attorneys and the guardians and what have you. So fast forward 4 years from when the governor said that, he's done nothing, and there is still absolutely no accountability in the guardianship system in Florida and, from what I know, throughout the country.
Right. Yeah, it's sad. The whole thing is just really sad. And I would have never believed that we were living in this kind of a world where people can decide and come and sell everything you have and isolate your parents. I never would have dreamed that would have happened to my family. And not only that, but I have my best girlfriend that called me from seventh grade today. They have taken her sister that was mentally handicapped, and I used to go over to her house when I was like in the seventh grade, and they have her into a home, a group home, and they will not let my best friend see her sister. And this has been going on for about 8 years now. So, that breaks my heart. That's up in Oregon. You know, so the family that I grew up with, she's not allowed to see her sister. I think that's horrible. And then I also had another best friend. Well, her mother was put into a guardianship. Her mother and dad were put into a guardianship by the same public administrator I had. So that was another good friend of mine. Okay, so I was like, then I have another family member, a friend of a family member, that they are also trying to put this family into a guardianship. These are people I grew up with. That's how bad the situation is getting out here. You know, so I've talked to a lot of people in Colorado. I've talked to people across the nation, and it's going on everywhere. It's just not in Colorado. It is everywhere. So we are here to be a voice to all the people out there, to know that we are here for you. We will help you however we can. We're not attorneys. We don't give legal advice. We're none of that. We just are talking about real-life experiences we've had in our own courtroom today and the gag orders that people have been put on and the restraining orders that families have on, you name it. We've talked about quite a bit on this show. And remember, you can go to all of our shows. They're recorded and they're archived at Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on TikTok. I'm trying to do TikTok too.
I love it. And Luann, quickly, I know we have to go, but
I don't know why. I just like to take this opportunity again to thank Nancy Grace and Fox Nation.
Oh, yeah.
And the producers, Haley, for getting that piece together on guardianship corruption. It was concerning Britney Spears, but it did focus, I think, the majority on four victims of guardianship abuse in Florida. And that is huge, because I tend to doubt that anyone will be asking or saying that Nancy Grace is a conspiracy theorist. You know,
I think she's
like her.
I think she's a wonderful
lady.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I just want to thank them for doing it, because it's getting the word out there, and that's basically it.
Right. Let's bring on one more caller. I think I'll try to get him into the studio. Let's see if we can do this. 858
Hi.
Number.
Hi.
Good. Hi. Got him in.
Thank you. It's nice to hear you guys again. I love your show. Please keep doing what you're doing. It's very, very important to expose the institutional abuse that's been happening to so many people in any kind of court, but especially probate courts and family courts. They follow the same types of methods in those courts. So even juvenile courts and all that with the CPS problems, these courts are following the same money-making, institutionalized abuse of people that should never be happening in a free country. And this is absolute abuse of human beings. It's a tragedy. It's a travesty. And we need to keep exposing it. I'm absolutely behind you guys 1,000%. I love what you're doing, and I just want to encourage you to keep going and keep doing it, because it just spread far and wide, because there's still too many people who think that they're safe, or that it's not going to happen to them, or it's not going to happen to their loved ones and their family members. And I think this is how we get into the situation that we get into, is too many people think, oh, that happened to them because they did something to deserve it. But it's not going to happen to me, and it's not going to happen to my family, because we're smart. We're smarter than they were. And when you ignore what's happening to your neighbors and the people around you in your culture and your society, it's coming for you next. So
right.
That's something that people need to open their eyes, stop being in denial. They call it a conspiracy theory, but then they find out, oh, when it happens to them, oh, that wasn't a conspiracy theory. It wasn't just an exaggerated, you know, angry, emotional person. It's really true. This is really not fair. It's wrong. It's a horrific abuse of human beings and an abuse of our people in this country. And we have to stop it. We've got to stop this abuse of people, this horrific institutional abuse. And the industry that's cropped up around it that makes millions of dollars, billions of dollars, that's changing hands at the expense of the vulnerable people. So we need to expose it.
Okay.
I really thank you for doing what you're doing, and please keep going.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was very eloquent tonight.
Yeah. No. You got a beautiful too. You know, and sometimes, you know, Hillary and Marcy, I know, and Rob and I, we sit here sometimes and we wonder, you know, is our show helping people, you know?
Not so much now, because we do hear from people such as yourself who say, I applaud what you're doing. Keep on going. We appreciate you. But I recall when we were getting started and we weren't sure if we had an audience or not. We weren't sure people were really listening.
7 years ago.
Or if we were doing any good with our show. And one day I was sitting with my mother, who's gone on now, but I was saying, Mom, I just don't know if we're doing any good. You know, it's like we're beating our head against the wall. And she said, Robin, our family was involved with the civil rights when that was a very small movement in parts of the South, where if you stood up and said, hey, we need to get rid of this this divisions between the races. Mm-hmm. We need to integrate our society. We need to respect everyone as human beings. They would burn crosses in your lawn.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, my own family was facing the opposition, and she said, and in those days, it seemed like we were beating our heads against the wall.
Right.
And,
she was a
know,
big inspiration.
We were facing tremendous opposition, and it just seemed like maybe we're just foolish. Maybe this is ridiculous. Maybe what we're doing really is stupid because
right.
it's going to accomplish nothing.
And,
but you know what? Over time, we see that what we're doing is absolutely vitally important. There's nothing better to do when you see this kind of tyranny going on in the world than to stand up and call attention to it
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, everybody, look, we've got an infestation over
right.
here of corruption in our courts.
Right.
And this is a cancer on the body politic that we have got to excise. We've got to destroy this malicious activity going on through our courts. We've got to get rid of that
right.
as a society and a culture.
And that's why we invite all our listeners to come onto our radio show. If you want to be a guest, please contact me at FaceUs Radio, FaceUs Radio at hotmail.com. FaceUs Radio at hotmail.com. You can find me and Robin and Hillary and Marcy all up on Facebook. Go ahead and send us a message if you'd like to. I know that a lot of people are scared to come up onto our show because they don't want to give their names. You don't have to. We can always put you up onto the radio show. We will just change your name to protect the innocent. So if you want to come onto our show, you can do that. You know.
Right.
So
That's
we just
right.
want to put that out. We don't like always doing that, but you know what? I get it. I have been there when I had to go by Botanical Lulu, and I also. People would call me Robin. I'd just say, okay, you know. So I went by the name of Lulu for a long time.
And the reason that was
necessary
was simply that in these situations, there was a hostage. Her mother was in the hands of hostile people who, if they got wind that we're speaking out about what was going on,
mm-hmm.
then there could be recriminations. There could be trouble. They could take it out on her.
Right.
And there should never be a situation where a family has a member that is held hostage
mm-hmm.
by unethical
Been
people
through that.
Who
Been
harm th- that person.
Right. I was in the probate court system for 10 years, everybody. I know exactly the guardian playbook.
And that is why you have situations such as was faced by Stuart Handy and Roger Hillegas, who had to go up against a criminal organization that was destroying the health and well-being of a loved one in order to stop
them.
And
that's why I asked
and
that.
And now they are facing criminal charges.
I hope the court there is listening to us, and I hope to God that they take in consideration that something could have gone on with Susan Hillegas, and they should be looking into that instead of looking at this. Anyway, we are going to be signing off now. Thank you, Hillary. I think Marcy had the night off, which she's in our hearts all the time. We love her. We love you, Hillary. Thank you for coming on. Robin.
Love you guys.
Thanks for being here with us.
Remember, justice requires transparency and accountability.
And giving up
is not an option.
And make sure that you try to see your mother, your dad, and do whatever you have to. Reach out to us at FaceUs Radio. And we will
you never know whether you're going to get another opportunity.
We'll see you next week. All right. We are going to play.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah,
good night.
You too. Good night, everybody. We're going to play the NASA commercial, by the way, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. Reach out to them if you have a problem.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.